Welcome to the Neurology Live Mind Moments Podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. I'm your host, Matt Hoffman. In this episode, Assistant Editor Marco Meglio is joined by Dr. Jeffrey Cummings, the Director Emeritus of the Lou Gruveau Center for Brain Health at Cleveland Clinic and the Vice Chair of the Department of Brain Health at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Dr. Cummings shares his insight into a recent review that he and colleagues did of the trends in Alzheimer's disease and talks about what they identified and what he expects to see in the coming years.
I think it's clear that the use of biomarkers has been so informative in terms of helping us to know whether the drugs are working and whether they're working on the biology that we're trying to target. So although we do not have a new approved drug yet, we can see both from the trials and the biomarkers in the trials that we're definitely affecting the brain in the way we want.
There's certain trends and things like that you've seen, and there's changes with certain amounts of treatments and different phases and different types of treatments. So what trends did you identify in your pipeline review, and were there anything that stuck out to you or anything that was more promising that you had noticed for those specific trends?
Yeah, there were very interesting trends, Marco, both positive and negative. So a negative trend was that over the past few years, we've had a lot of enthusiasm for a class of drugs that inhibit the enzymes that make the toxic protein amyloid in the brain of the Alzheimer patient. And we really thought those drugs were going to work. And we had five of them in the pipeline over the last few years, and every one of them either failed or was shown to be toxic and to further impair cognition in patients with Alzheimer's disease. So that's a very important lesson, and all of those enzyme inhibitors have now fallen out of clinical trials. So that was a dramatic trend. On the other hand, what we see is a trend towards success in the monoclonal antibodies that are targeting amyloid, so that we have aducanumab, which is a Biogen product that is making progress. We have BAN2401, which is an Eisai product that's making progress. And gantenerumab, which is a Roche product. And they all are monoclonal antibodies that target amyloid. They all reduce this protein in the brain, and they all have preliminary evidence of either biomarker or clinical benefit.
And you just mentioned it. I was about to go into it as well. Obviously, the recent news with aducanumab is especially lately with the NDA, and it's been especially just trending throughout. While other non-amyloid targeting drugs seem to be trending, this one is sticking out, and it's advancing through the pipeline like none other. So what are your specific thoughts on aducanumab, and especially with the latest update and its potential as a successful treatment for Alzheimer's disease?
Well, aducanumab had a very successful phase 1b trial. It showed that it significantly reduced the amyloid protein in the brain. And on several of the clinical measures, it showed that it was slowing the loss of cognitive function. And as you know, they did two large trials, Emerge and Engage. And these trials were shown to be futile, but as the patients were followed up later, one can see that the drug is almost certainly working. So I do believe that the evidence greatly supports the efficacy of aducanumab. On the other hand, the structure of the trial was such that they were not able to meet their primary outcome. So this now rests in the hands of the FDA as to measure the evidence of benefit versus the difficulty with the trial, and they will either approve the agent or they will have some sort of conditional approval, or they will require another trial. And whatever happens, we're going to learn a ton about drug development and how the FDA is viewing these things by what happens to aducanumab.
Can you talk about a little bit more about what you personally feel is the greatest unmet need in Alzheimer's disease right now within the population, especially regarding symptomatic treatment like agitation, aggression, and other troublesome symptoms?
Yes, we definitely need new treatments for patients with mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. And thank you for mentioning the neuropsychiatric symptoms. There was exciting news yesterday that the FDA has accepted the review of pimavanserin for the treatment of dementia-related psychosis. So we're very happy to see that drug going ahead. I think it has a good chance of being approved by the FDA and being the first treatment ever for the treatment of psychosis in dementia-related psychosis, and for that matter, in any psychosis, in any neurological disease. So it's really an exciting development for pimavanserin. We're looking forward to that. There is there are several drugs that are moving ahead in agitation. I'm happy to see that. There's drugs being tested for apathy. You probably know that suvorexant was tested for insomnia in Alzheimer's disease and shown to be beneficial, and the labeling was changed to capture those data so that practitioners can use suvorexant for insomnia, knowing what the efficacy and the side effect profile in that particular population are.
Talking more generally, was there anything about your study or the observations that you saw that stuck out to you, or was there anything that may have surprised you by what you saw comparatively? I mean, also the number of treatments within the pipeline had gone down just slightly, but was there anything else that have you seen specifically that stuck out to you?
There were several things, Marco, that I was struck by. One was the great increase in the number of repurposed compounds that are in the pipeline. So drugs that are approved for another indication like cardiovascular disease or even cancer, but they're shown through some mechanism, laboratory studies or epidemiologic observations, to have benefit, potential benefit in Alzheimer's disease. And so then they are tested in the pipeline. And there is about an increase from roughly 25% to almost 50% in the current pipeline are repurposed agents. So there's been a great shift in terms of repurposing as a mechanism for identifying candidate compounds. One of the things that alarmed me in looking at the pipeline was the relatively small number of agents coming into phase one. And the way to get to phase two and phase three is from phase one. So we really have to get those drugs out of the laboratory, out of the animals, and into humans more successfully than we are right now. So clinical trials are a problem, but getting the candidate compounds to put into clinical populations is also a problem. And then finally, I would just say that the challenges of clinical trials stood out to me. When we calculated the total number of patients needed for clinical trials right now, the number is 31,000. We need 31,000 people in the trials that are just those that are recruiting right now. And yet getting patients into trials, getting patients to understand what a great contribution they could make, enlisting them in the citizens' army that will help fight Alzheimer's disease has been a challenge that I don't think we've been successful yet with. So we really need to get people into clinical trials, and we need to educate people as to why the clinical trials and their participation can be so important.
And you mentioned it, you just mentioned it before about the repurposed, the increase in repurposed drugs. Obviously, repurposed drugs kind of take a little bit, they take a little bit away from the trial because they've already had some of the safety and the efficacy already handled out, and you kind of know a little bit more of the preliminary data with it. Do you feel as though that this is kind of just an overall trend that's that's across the neuro spectrum? Because, I mean, you see a lot of people, a lot of trials that go on are conducted more real world trials or that are after previously FDA approved drugs. So do you feel as though this is just an overall theme, or is this something specific towards the Alzheimer's area?
I'm not that familiar, Marco, with the non-Alzheimer areas. I can just say that we can see this happening in phase one, phase two, phase three. It seems like a very general phenomenon to get these compounds in. And I would say that I think they'll have a special role in Alzheimer's disease drug development. It's hard to generate intellectual property around some of these drugs, and therefore commercial sponsors are less likely to take repurposed compounds ahead. But if we can show that one of these drugs is working, then there's always the ability to improve the drug, look at related compounds, to look at the biomarkers that showed that the drug was working or the clinical measures that showed that the drug was working. There's always a lot to be learned, even if that drug itself is never approved as a treatment for Alzheimer's disease.
I guess the last thing I have to say is there anything else that you'd like to point out, or is there anything else that people may not understand or read or they may not get from your paper that should be known?
I think the one thing I would say is that the families and patients should have hope. There's a lot of headlines around failed drugs, but we're making steady progress in the development of drugs and how to develop them better. We've got lead compounds that are extremely promising right now. There's no question in my mind that we're going to solve this problem and have meaningful treatments for Alzheimer's disease. I want families to know that that's going to happen.
Thanks for listening to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. For more neurology news and expert-driven content, visit neurologylive.com.